Good morning, everyone. Clyde asked me to give you his apologies. He's in Nepal with a delegation from the World Bank, and he thought that the opportunity of getting increased funding might be more important than giving this presentation, especially if he could get me to give it, I think. We're going to switch gears a little bit. Brenda started off talking about how climate affects yields. What I'm going to talk about is how we use climate information to help manage crops better. And but before we start, let's get an idea of what climate and weather are all about. Weather is what's happening right now. Weather is short-term. Climate is long-term, whether it's historic or future. So the distinction between weather and climate is pretty much arbitrary. It's just a question of time. The kinds of things that we look at when we consider climate-based decisions versus weather-based decisions relate to that time frame. So when we look at weather, essentially weather information helps us decide on our tactical operations. What do we do from day to day, whether it's spraying or planting or fertilizing? If we look at climate forecasts, it affects more strategic decisions. Which variety do we select? What are the best planting dates? Perhaps insurance needs and marketing things. So it's a longer-term, more strategic issue when we look at climate. So our goal is to use both weather and climate information in order to reduce production risks associated with climate variability in agriculture in the southeastern U.S. If we look at some of the models that are out there looking at a climate forecast, our idea is that if farmers have an idea of what is coming up in the future, then we can use these seasonal forecasts to manage risks. This example is from South America. These are forecasts from the International Research Institute for Climate and Society. These are developed and distributed every month for the region, and essentially what it does is it gives you a tercile basis. What is the rainfall probability, whether it's going to be in the upper third, middle third, or bottom third of the overall distribution, and how those patterns change. So it's not what we're looking at is a probabilistic forecast, not a deterministic forecast. We're looking at shifts in probabilities. So we need to go well beyond just producing a forecast. We need to figure out how to work with farmers in order to understand how they would use the information in order to manage their risks better. AgroClimate is a web-based decision support system which has been developed over the last seven or eight years. It's designed to provide information to both extension agents and farmers, natural resource managers, so that they can understand their climate and how they can use climate information to better manage their risks. So when we look at climate-smart agriculture, we start off with an understanding of the local climate. What is the local climate? And I have to thank Brenda for giving us a little background in the ENSO situation, because in the Southeast, one of the things that we really benefit from is having a strong ENSO signal. So we do have a good capability of forecasting seasonal climate. Once we understand how the climate changes, then we look at the impacts on agriculture, and then we start developing adaptation strategies based on the monitoring short-term and long-term forecasts. And then we communicate those strategies and forecasts to growers, and we go back into the cycle. So this is a view of agroclimate that has evolved quite a bit over the last years. And the key here is that this is not a static website. It's always evolving. We have this is the front page. We have news. If you look down at the outlooks, I'll show you a little bit more about those. We have a lot of tools, a lot of information, and one of the things that we always try to keep right up on top is what the ENSO phase forecast is. And if you look at the most recent forecast, it's for a La Nina. We have a very high probability of La Nina coming up over the next. In fact, we're in a La Nina situation right now, which for us means we have a probability of dry, relatively warm weather in the southeast. And since we came off of a La Nina last year, that we're already in a water deficit, so we're really concerned about drought coming over the winter and fall. Outlooks, we have two outlooks that we produce, and we have them all archived. On the left, we see a fall climate outlook. We produce climate outlooks every 3 months at least. If there's a change in the outlook, we'll issue an update. The climate outlook mainly focuses on the climate, and we complement that with an agricultural outlook, which is on the right. These agricultural outlooks have been developed both with the climatologists and commodity extension specialists. So by working together, they look to see, well, how does the climate outlook relate to what is the probable impact on the crops and how farmers can respond. And these have been very widely accepted in the region. The extension agents take these outlooks, they extract parts that are of interest to them, they put them in their bulletins, and they get them out to their farmers. There are quite a few tools in agriclimate. I'll show you a few of them, but we won't be able to go through the full list. One thing that's very interesting, though, is we started off with an idea of what we thought farmers would want. And then as we moved along, farmers told us what they wanted. And the tools that are circled in red are tools that have been identified by farmers and developed based on farmer and extension agent requests. So whether it's the county climatology or the forecasts of drought or the greenhouse gas emissions calculator, strawberry advisory system, and county yield database, and I'll show you some of these. So here's the climate risk tool. This shows the average and deviation throughout the year of total rainfall. It's available by county throughout our region, and essentially it shows how the precipitation patterns and temperature patterns, we have those also, how they might change according to ENSO phase. So this is for the La Nina. These are the deviations. So we have both averages and deviations. And we see that in a La Nina phase, we tend to have lower than average rainfall during the first part of the year. And during the spring and later into the year, we have a lot less predictability. If we compare that with El Nino, we see that during an El Nino, we have a lot higher rainfall in the early part of the year, and we have a little bit less in August and not much predictability through most of the spring and summer. The strawberry advisory system has been developed through a grant from the strawberry growers. The industry funded this activity, and it's designed essentially to manage the diseases of strawberries, which is a fairly expensive proposition when you're looking at fungicide applications. And the idea is to try to find out a way of making sure you only apply the fungicides that you need if you're a strawberry grower. So if we look at one of those locations and we click on it, we see there was a yellow flag, which is an alert, and we see that historically the black line shows how the index has move through time. When it gets up into the red, that's a high risk. We're moderate risk right now. And if we take a look at the recommendation, the spray recommendation, it doesn't just come up with a recommendation. It asks the farmer for some of their management practices first. When did they spray? What did they spray? And then if you wanted to look at your recommendation, it would say, well, for botrytis, there's no need to spray. But for anthracnose, you would spray a contact fungicide. So, and this is not only available on the web, I'll show you in a minute, it's also available by telephone. The Lawn and Garden Moisture Index is an index that's calculated for each weather station where we have daily updated weather data available for the region. If we click on one of the dots, we come up with on the left is what's happened over the last 30 days. This is how the index has proceeded. It was relatively dry. It got a little bit of rain, but it stays dry. And then to the right side, we have the forecast. The middle would be the average, and the dashed lines are plus and minus one standard deviation. So that gives us kind of a cone of probability where we would expect that index to go over the next several months. the county yield database. This is another one that farmers ask for. One of the things that we find interesting is that we started off looking at how people could use a forecast. And what we've learned is that if you really want to gain their confidence, you need to show them that you could explain the history. So we went in this county yield database. We've got the National Agricultural Statistics Service database, and it shows how yields have changed historically. Again, it's by county. We have multiple crops. This is for Tift County in Georgia. And we have both the El Nino, which is the red, and La Nina, which is blue, and we have the trend lines for the two. So we see that the yields tend to be a little higher in an El Nino year, a little lower in a La Nina year. La Nina tends to be a little drier, which means we start off with a drier soil profile for maize. The carbon footprint calculator, this was another one that farmers asked for. Essentially, we have only one crop that it's done for so far, and that's strawberry. This is a prototype that we've developed for them. And the farmers would input their production, packaging and storage information, their transportation to market, how far they go, and then it gives a summary. And here's the summary for this strawberry crop, and it shows you that you have 0.3 pounds of CO2 per pound of strawberry from production, 0.3 from packaging and storage, and 0.09 from the transportation. And the reason that they want to do this is for marketing. What they want to do is have the same computation for strawberries that are produced in other areas and say, well, for us, our carbon footprint is half the carbon footprint of the growers that are producing in California and then shipping to the East Coast. So it's a real strategic issue for them. Of course, they're also looking at it as a way to identify points where they might be able to reduce their carbon footprint, especially so that they can reduce their costs of production. So one of the new ideas that's coming out are for smartphones. We have various tools, climate phase information, news and outlooks. It's all available. And the strawberry advisory system is on there. So if a farmer wants to look at their phone, the thing is they don't have their computers with them all day long. But the farmers in our areas all have smartphones. And the smartphone is at their side. If they have a question, they can go to their phone and get the information that they need. We also send out alerts if there's an issue. So agriclimate was, this is an advertisement for tomorrow. Tomorrow we're having a symposium in honor of Jim Jones, who retired this year. What that means is that we don't see him as often on weekends as we used to. He's still working as much as he ever has, but he's in the back of the room, and this is Clyde's statement for Jim Jones, and we really appreciate Jim for all that you've done, and we look forward to your symposium tomorrow.